Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Captain Roy's Rusty Rocket Radio Show. I always pause there at the beginning, as if I've forgotten the title of my own show. Anyway, you're listening to the UK Geek Science Fiction, Fantasy and Horror Podcast, episode 529. Recorded on Thursday, the 14th of March, 2024, at 23:02:59. Okay. I'm sitting down today. I'm just hoping there aren't too many external noises as we ease ourselves into this. Let us start off with last Saturday's Flannery. I don't know if I said that right, have I? Well, Flannery in English. I may have overpronounced it in French. I'm practicing my French, but you know. Yeah, so last Sunday I did my regular monthly walk around London. It's what I do before I have a club meeting. I make the most of it because it's not cheap to get to London. That was Saturday the 9th of March. The morning actually started off so abysmally that I almost went back to bed. But lucky for me, my mum's great. She shoved me out the door. She said, "You're not going to waste your day." So eventually I got to the station. I walked there. Took my train a bit early. Doesn't matter on Saturday. You can take any train. Well, any train on the service that you're using. And I started my walk. By the time I got to Tottenham Court Road, my migraine kicked in. I started seeing the worm. Yes, it's not just from tequila that you see the worm. I went into a musical instrument shop, guitar shop, as well as electronic shops, well, musical instrument shops in Denmark Street, also known as London's Tin Pan Alley. I've been going there since I was 18. Not the shop, but the street. That's where I got my first guitar. Bass guitar, actually. I went into a particular shop. This was a guitar shop. And eventually I said I wanted a twang of a particular instrument. A banjolele. They didn't have it, but I said I wanted a twang. What the hell's wrong with me? I also went into the Roland shop. I've been in there a few times. I'm fascinated by that shop full of electronics. Yes, I'm an old school banjolelist, but, you know, the electronic stuff. I am a geek. Pretty cool. I know absolutely nothing about the gear, though. I kind of know what it does, but I don't know how to do it. I will go into Roland and ask for a demo of a sampler, the SP-404, next time. I don't think I'm ever going to buy it, but I just want to know how it works. I'm fascinated by people using it on YouTube, and yeah, it looks really complicated. It looks cool. Around noon, it started to brighten. Yes, no rain, not particularly cold, really nice and sunny. And I ate a ploughman's sandwich in Embankment Gardens, which is what I often do on Saturdays when I go into London. If it's not Embankment Gardens, it's Cleopatra's Needle. I enjoyed the sun, and so did the pigeons. Oh, it's really nice when you see pigeons relaxing on the manicured lawn, and they kind of lower themselves, they settle into the lawn and they just enjoy the sun. Ah, I love pigeons. So yeah, I enjoy the sun with the happy pigeons. I recorded a Mother's Day WhatsApp video message for Mum that I sent the next day. And as I was sitting on the bench, there was another guy a bit further up the bench. And I was sitting there for so long, I thought, you know what, I know I'm shy, but I'm going to maybe say something. And it turned out that this guy, Sam, was actually a Mauritian ex-British Army chef. And by the way, Mauritian, yeah, like my family, but also happy Mauritius Independence Day. I think it was Independence Day on the 12th, so yeah, belated happy Mauritius Independence Day. Anyway, back to the story. Sam, ex-British Army chef, I was saying that one day I'd like to take my mum to have high tea at one of the posh London hotels and cafes, restaurants, and he highly recommended the Ritz, where he used to work. He said it's a bit expensive in there, but it's amazing. It's got all this gold furnishing, and yeah, it's highly opulent. And it is the place, apparently, to go for high tea. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Oh, man, imagine working there. Anyway, apparently he was waiting for his partner to go and see Bronco Billy musical. Is that the film version with Clint Eastwood? Seem to remember. Anyway, Sam, I know you're not listening to this, but I really hope that you and your partner enjoyed Bronco Billy. I know he's not listening to this because I never said I was a podcaster. I don't have any business cards. Must be a good way to get new listeners. I should do that. I used to have business cards, but they're now horribly out of date. Anyway, after my sandwich, I went to Embankment Tube and found out that the Circle and District lines were buggered for some reason, and a TfL worker, not the really nice and helpful guy that I met ages and ages ago, but this other guy who sent me in completely the wrong direction. Yeah, he told me I had to do this thing and go on this thing and get out there and walk there. Well, apparently all I had to do is get a tube in the other direction and then join the branch line of the Northern Line. And he didn't tell me that. I went the long way round. But I got there eventually, and it didn't involve any walking. Oh, God. At least I know the tube system a little better than I did. Yeah, don't take it for granted that the TfL workers know which direction to send you in. Be careful. But eventually, I wended my way to my club's meeting. The talk was delightfully geeky. Sometimes it isn't, because, you know, I'm a very geeky chap. And often, well, I've been to these meetings before, and sometimes, you know, it's the usual stuff. Football, I don't know. Reality TV, all that stuff, all the stuff that I have no interest in. This time it was science fiction, fantasy and horror. It was great. And the occult. I really enjoyed that. On the way back, I bought a discounted Marks & Sparks Coronation Chicken sandwich for my trundle home, got to the home station, then walked home from there. Total distance walked that day was, wait for it, this is really impressive, for me anyway, 9.65 miles. Now, I was tired after that. I was tired for the next few days, but not as absolutely shattered as I have been when I've walked only half that, or less, which is what happened when I started doing these London walks. Now, I'm handling it. It's amazing. That is almost a marathon. Okay, so marathons spread over many hours, but for me it's really good. I'm patting myself on the back. Well, not too loudly, I don't want that to come out on the mic. Related to that, I am the whole walking man, and that is the title of this week's episode. The constant Randall flagging about the place, and far more so since the death of my car, my poor old motor, have caused the inner soles of my comfortable and expensive Skechers bought only about 6 months ago to start to wear through. I've got holes in them, in both inner soles. And they're stuck in, so it's not an easy replacement. But back to the whole walking thing, unlike the band Traffic, or Neil from The Young Ones, Nigel Planer, there was no elephant's eye in the sky looking at me, and they don't let in water, not yet anyway. And also a black hole was not involved. That is an obscure reference, which you'll only know if you're into Larry Niven and a story called The Hole Man. I believe it was. Was that the 80s or the 70s? Doesn't matter. I'm straying off course again. The point is to all this, not psychedelic shoes, but having such a short lifespan is absolutely absurd for shoes designed specifically for walking. And yes, Skechers do more casual stuff. These are fairly plain trainers, and they're black. They're designed for people who walk a lot, or have a profession that means they're on their feet a lot. So these should not wear out that quickly. They did. I can't go back to the cheaper, less comfortable Reebok Classics that I've worn for years and years. Not after I've experienced the comfort of memory foam. So what I'm asking you is for some suggestions. I walk on average about 4 miles a day. What would you suggest I do? Finally, despite what you may hear from certain right-wing, wingnut, xenophobic stirrers, there are no no-go areas in central London. This has been something made up and talked about now for years. I think even Donald Trump mentioned something about this. It rears its ugly head every now and then. Take it from me, from someone who walks miles and miles around central London at least one Saturday a month, Saturday being the busiest day of the week in London, there are no no-go areas. And remember, I'm not exactly a macho man. I'm the opposite of a macho man. I'm fairly wimpy, shall we say. So something that disturbed me, like apparently writing people, I would notice. There was none of that. This situation reminds me almost exactly, without the racism content, of the alarmist hoo-ha nonsense over Extinction Rebellion protests that I also talked about a few years ago. And that was also on a Saturday. I think that was on the first Saturday that I met my club ever. There was a Extinction Rebellion protest, and it was very, very crowded. It was not intimidating. Police were not intimidated. The public were not intimidated. I walked through very, very crowded Trafalgar Square. People moved out the way for me because they could see I was taking pictures. I looked a bit like a journalist, I suppose. So yeah, nothing to worry about. London, central London, is absolutely fine. It isn't always, but, you know, it has been, despite these protests. Okay, that's the pre-show over and done with. Oh dear, I hope you haven't heard that. I've been rustling a tissue in my hand. I've got some kind of chill or cold or something. We are launching into the main part of the show right now. First thing that I wanted to talk about is Neil Cross's Burial novel versus The Sister TV series. Starting on World Book Day, I can't remember what day that was now, but that was a coincidence, and finishing the day after, a very appropriate coincidence, I read Neil Cross's 2009 horror/thriller, the novel that spawned his 2020 ITV TV miniseries script. Yes, he wrote the novel and he also wrote the script. I read it because I wanted to dive deeper into the fascinating monster and ghost hunter, that is, the character Bob Morrow, that the TV series could not afford to do because it is a miniseries. I was disappointed. I needn't have bothered, as the character is barely fleshed out in the novel either. Yeah, big disappointment. Seemingly impossibly, he is also even more thoroughly repulsive than his on-screen counterpart, who at least benefits from charisma. Yeah, Bertie Carvel plays Bob Morrow in The Sister. He does a really good job of balancing the repulsive with the charismatic. The character in the book is not like that. He is a sad, shambling, unhygienic, repulsive failure. What is even more irritating is that the least interesting character, Nathan, played okay by Russell Tovey on the TV show, who you might recognise from loads of Doctor Who as well, other stuff on TV, is similarly boring. That isn't the fault of the actor. It's more the fault of the character. He is a faceless cipher with no real backstory, yet he occupies most of the prose of the novel. Also, unlike the TV miniseries, the novel is twistless. There is no sting in the tail at the end of the novel at all. It really deserves one. It doesn't get one. My advice is, if you must consume this horror property, watch the better TV show. Yeah, it's just much better. I said in my two-sentence review of it back in pod 349, quite some time ago, embrace the schlock. I suspect that the reason that I feel that the TV show is better is that Neil Cross simply became a better writer in the 11 years gap between the book and the TV show. Regarding Neil Cross as a writer, well, I've only read one book. I would say he is a meat and potatoes writer. His prose is lightened by the odd sprig of purple. It appears that he does restrain himself from too much of that. There is also what I suspect is a lot of 80s Brit horror lit influence and Easter eggs that drove me through the book. And for that much, I'm grateful to Neil Cross for reigniting my voracious bookworm habit that slowed to a crawl over the last decade. In fact, I've been thinking about why I haven't been reading as much. I've put it down to a lot of things, tiredness, eyesight. But a lot of those problems have been mitigated. You know, I've helped myself through them now, and I don't really have any excuse anymore. And I am reading more, but it's still just not as much as it was. I don't know if that's something to do with ADHD, I just don't know. Because can you get it later on? I wasn't the most studious of students, but I was an incredible reader. I was reading a few books a week, and I would not go anywhere without a book. Always had a book in my pocket, always had a few in my backpack, always had a load in my bag if I went on holiday. Well, maybe this is the beginning of something, because like I said, it took me less than 24 hours to read Burial. Next, Missing Link. I was scrolling through TV today and I noticed the film Missing Link that I've not talked about before, but I have watched it. I watched this 2019 Leica animation more than a year ago. I couldn't tell you at this stage how long ago it was, and I do barely remember anything about it, but what I do remember is that it was about an explorer discovering a friendly Yeti, this big hairy chap who eventually wants to be called Susan, and why not? And I also remembered that it mildly amused me at the time. The Wikipedia page says that it was a happy ending for all the goodies in the story. So maybe give it a try. And that is Missing Link. On to something else. Mr. Ben. On the last week of February, I was feeling mopey. Well, I'm often feeling mopey. You know that. But on that particular week, I decided to do something to change that, and I indulged in one of the comforts of childhood, and that is BBC One's Mr. Ben series from 1971. In Mr. Ben, we have this chap, bowler, hatted and suited chap, who's seeking a costume for a fancy dress party. That's the opening of the first episode. He goes into all these shops, can't find anything suitable, and finally finds a strange old shop with a peculiar, I think fez-wearing proprietor. In there, he dons a knight's costume, steps through a magic door, and into a gentle medieval adventure in which he helps a sad but adorable dragon. Watching Mr. Ben took me back, and my mother also says she liked Mr. Ben when she watched it with me on our first black and white TV set. I don't think we had colour TV until the 80s. Again, that's something I've already said a few times. Sorry, it's not a sob story. There's no need for violins. The point is, Mr. Ben is great. A lot of 70s children programmes, shows like Play School or Mr. Ben, yeah, sure, we've outgrown them years ago, but if you need to be reminded maybe of a better time, well, not perhaps a better time, a time when children's programmes were comforting, like Mr. Ben, Bagpuss, you know what I mean. There are shows today, I mean, I quite like Peppa Pig, but I'm not really in the know about children's TV shows are great nowadays, maybe I should explore that. So I tend to look for things from my childhood. And the Clangers also, really great. Mr. Ben. There is something of Doctor Who about the show. Going into different times, wearing fancy costumes, going through magical doors. Yeah, yeah. If you're into Doctor Who, you're probably into Mr. Ben. Talking about childhood TV shows, Cat Weasel. Yes, the 1970 to 1971 London Weekend Television LWT, now part of ITV, children's series about an incompetent medieval wizard who escapes the Normans by travelling to the present day, where he is scared witless by modern technology. If you can imagine an extended kid-friendly Hammer House of Horror version of Witching Time, without the hanky-panky, that's the sort of thing you're looking at with Cat Weasel. I recently rewatched the first episode on YouTube. It is funny, and Jeffrey Baildon, who plays the wizard Cat Weasel, is endearing. But, odds bodkins, one can't help noticing Bladen's very modern tooth fillings. Curses, HD. Curses. And that's Cat Weasel, yeah. Again, comfort food for the soul. Let's leave nostalgia behind now and talk about something bang up to date, and that is Constellation. I've started watching it. Well, I'm fully up to date with it now. Constellation is Apple TV Plus's 2024 science fiction miniseries. There are only 8 episodes, and I've seen up to episode 6 now. It is about an astronaut, Nomi Rapace, feeling strangely off-kilter following a disaster around the same time as her commander was concluding a peculiar experiment in quantum physics. Feeling strangely off-kilter. Hey, Nomi, I feel like that every day. Watching Constellation, I was immediately experiencing strong intimations of Gerry Anderson's Journey to the Far Side of the Sun from 1969, if you remember that. A guy goes off into space, when he comes back, everything is slightly wrong. The light switches are on the wrong side. Things are weirdly mirrored. There's some of that in there. Constellation then morphed into perhaps time travel, more likely parallel universes, and contain more than a touch of Event Horizon. Two of the main characters, Jonathan Banks and Nomi Rapace, I've got to say, no matter the quality of the show, I could watch hours of those two actors just doing crossword puzzles silently. Their faces are absolutely fascinating. Rapace just has an interesting face. Jonathan Banks, it's so characterful and lined. It is amazing. The moment that his character mentioned that he had a brother, I knew that Jonathan Banks would be playing twins, and so he is. But the main character that we focus on, the scientist, Henry, there is this scene in which he's trying to record the output of a quantum experiment. And that output is influenced by his presence, so he's the only one who can see it, and it just can't be recorded. It's on a computer screen. He tries to make a sketch of it by putting some paper over the screen and tracing it with a marker. If Henry had been a proper nerd, like he's supposed to be in this, he would know to hit the print screen key. Henry, why didn't you hit print screen? It's really easy. It's right there on the keyboard. I don't know if quantum weirdness would affect that. But yeah, that was a bit of a lapse there. Constellation, yeah, I am really enjoying it. Also, and this is me again focusing on the minutiae because I'm a nerdy geek. I've got a piece of trivia here that is extremely trivial. There is a little plastic white kitchen timer, very retro looking, velcroed to the interior of the ISS, the International Space Station. It is used by Rapace to time events and is branded Time Check trademark. I dug into this timer because there was something just so retro and adorable about it. I was just interested. I thought, oh, a little bit of astronaut history that maybe I could buy. It looks quite cheap. Turns out that this Time Check branded timer, probably a kitchen timer, was used by John Glenn on NASA's STS-95 1998 Space Shuttle mission. If you want to see it, it is currently on display at DC's National Air and Space Museum. Now, how nerdy is that? I tried to look if I could buy it. No, you can't. I think it's long gone. It's just a cheap piece of tat, but it was cool. And I like little things like that. Beat that, nerds. As far as the series go, back to the more relevant stuff. Yeah, Constellation. Intriguing series. I only hope that the denouement of the series isn't an emotional journey cop-out, rather than the hard science fiction resolution it deserves. Yeah, don't do, oh, it's just about love, or it's just about this, or it's just, no, I want hard science fiction. Explain the quantum weirdness. Don't bodge it. I'm warning you, Apple TV, don't bodge it. And that's Constellation. If you're watching Constellation, tell me what you think. Yeah, just get in touch, man. Get in touch. Or woman. I keep saying man. That's a mannerism. Forget that. Okay. Let us canter briskly off topic. Just got a few things that I wanted to talk about. First, even better sound. I have been tinkering with the sound, as I said. And if you also use a Shure SM7B, like me, but it sounds muffled and essy at the same time, what a nightmare. You've probably bought the wrong mic. Well, look, it's not the wrong mic. You just need to EQ it better. You can try an EQ curve I use to attenuate those frequencies in Audacity or other digital audio workstations. In brief, what I've done is reduce the frequencies from 50 Hz to 200 Hz by 5 decibels. Little slope there. Then I've left it alone until 5,000 Hz. And then between 5,000 Hz and 20,000 Hz and above, I've again reduced that by 5 decibels. It's a mild curve. And it seems to work. It suits my voice. I've got a lispy, clicky mouth. I've got a lot of bass in my voice, and I've got quite a lot of high end. It is a nightmare of a voice to EQ. It just so happens that I had a few hours the other day free, and I sat down and I just experimented with my audio. If you want to find out more about the details of how I make the podcast, go to my website, click on podcast, click on gear. Even if you don't use an SM7B, if you use a completely different mic, you'll probably need to learn a bit about EQing. It will help you a lot. I've also tweaked Audacity's third-party Paul L. Declicker plugin. Again, details are on my website. This is getting needlessly technical. The main point to take home from this is hopefully my sound is getting better. Yes. After 11 years, it should be. On to the next topic. Free code. Scientists, if you're listening, I have free algorithmic code for you. That includes stuff like the Hardy-Weinberg equation, used in evolutionary biology for cladistics, the Wilcoxon and bivariate statistical analysis equations. I've also made a field of view calculator, which will make sense to you if you do anything to do with satellite imaging, aerial photography or archaeology. And there's more code as well. Most of it's written in BASIC. I think I've used other languages as well, but mainly BASIC, so it can be easily translated to other languages. You can almost read it like pseudocode. Well, not quite. It's not, you know, it's not Rex. It's a little bit more line noisy, BASIC. If you need one of those algorithms translated to code, yeah, I have it. My question to you is, should I GitHub it? I'm a bit reluctant to do that because there's a bit of a learning curve for me. It's not that easy to use GitHub. Or should I just put it on my website and then later archive.org it? Yeah? Let me know. Or if you don't care about it at all, also let me know. Finally, in our off-topic journey into the dark woods, snaffle yourself a bargain, yes. Have you got gas? Have you got gear acquisition syndrome? You can snaffle yourself a bargain on my shopping site, Emporia Esoterica, which I'm readying to go back online soon. It's been offline for ages. Details will follow in the podcast, so pay attention to that if you're after a bargain. The sort of thing that I'll be selling includes the little departments within Emporia Esoterica. It's like I'm running a huge department store like Grace Brothers. Let's go through those departments. The Shop of Merch, which is, as it sounds, a merch shop for podcast merch. There is the Shop of Books, imaginatively titled, which leads you to my Amazon page and books written by me. That isn't some weird scam. Those are actual novels and short stories and stuff like that. Some of which might be free, so keep an eye on that. And there's also the Shop of Null. N-U-L. Unix Null. Which is stuff I no longer need and I'm eBaying, like audio gear, electronics, other stuff as well that have absolutely nothing to do with electronics or audio gear. But it will be nicely categorized for you to see. If you're after something, keep an eye out. Or an ear out. Keep an ear out. Let us ride out of off-topic woods and into after-show glade. More or less the question. You would not believe how busy I am at the moment. How busy we all are here at Castle Royenstein. There is a lot more I could tell you, there is a lot more to tell you, but only some of which may interest you, even in this Geek Life zine episode. So I've restrained myself. Yes, it doesn't sound like I've restrained myself, but I've made it shorter than it could have been. However, if you want to know more about my life in the UK as a geek, let me know. If you'd like to know less, also let me know, as I am very well aware that I overshare, and that isn't to everyone's taste. If there are other subjects you want me to talk about, let me know. I should remind you that this is my journey as a geek, so it is only about stuff that I enjoy consuming. It's not generally a news show, So you could regard a lot of these topics as timeless? Let me know if you think I'm missing something. I have a presence on Mastodon, as well as Twitter. I'd be happy to hear from you on either of those platforms, though I prefer email. And on that subject, let me now say goodbye, and I can tell you where you can find me. You can find me at roymathur.com, R-O-Y-M-A-T-H-U-R. Please review, rate, support if you can, and recommend the show to a friend or mortal enemy. That way we both win. If you like it, if you don't like it. That is all I have to say for now. I'm just warming up and now I'm sad to go. The time at the end, that sounds so portentous. The time at the end. I should try the proximity effect here. Let me try that. The time at the end. The time at the end is 23:48:05. Thanks for listening, and bye-bye for now. Bye. Bye.